Previously on Taverns and Caverns, we went to some caverns beneath tiny fortress with Tepe and immediately come across some fearsome creature named Garo. We defeat Garo, of course, and his spawn. I'll have you know, it was I who had the final blow. We make our escape from the caverns and turn towards Hirai Forest. Apparently, we meet a chubby squirrel named Pablo before we're finally able to get some rest. Unreliable little bastard. Anyway, we wake to find that Tepe had passed away in his sleep. We pay our respects to the late Tepe. Then we continue eastbound towards Shimara. Episode 82, Divine Presence.
Welcome back to another exciting episode of Taverns and Caverns, everyone. This is your Dungeon Master, Haphazard DM. And last time on Taverns and Caverns, the party had defeated the crazy creature in the caverns underneath Tawny Fortress known as Garo. And after defeating Garo, they were able to escape the fortress from the underneath caverns. And they found themselves in the forest known as Hirai Forest. With the help of Tepe, they were able to escape. And the party was able to get a nice long 8-hour rest. So everyone is healed up. You have your spells back. Unfortunately, during the night, as everyone was sleeping, Tepe somehow lost his life energy, and he ended up passing away in his sleep. The party didn't realize this until everyone woke up and were trying to leave the camp. Unfortunately, Tepe is no longer with the party. Yome and Roy decided to burn his body to show their respects to him. And we are going to continue where we left off right then and there. The party, you all find yourselves continuing east into the Hirai Forest. And as you continue eastwards, the sunlight or the day feels actually nice for once. You're not in a dark, clouded city ruin with Yaksha surrounding you, attempting to kill you. You can hear the animals all around you. You all feel like Disney princesses walking through the forest with the birds singing right now. That's how peaceful it is. Roy feels like Snow White, just whistling right now, walking down this path in the forest.
He got like a bird on his shoulder.
Yes, yes. Hota's singing with the bears.
Yep.
Yogi's over here trying to get some honey with Stella. Like, y'all chilling.
So, we're just happy to not be around dead things for once.
Yes. Yep. And as the five of you with a Shinodori continue walking, I'm going to reveal the next map to your right. Just place your characters at the top. You'll be able to see it. It's another forest map. But heading eastwards, as you're all walking down the path, again, the day is nice. There's a nice warm breeze. You can hear the leaves rustling in the distance from above and all around due to the wind. And you all finally come across a pathway that doesn't have nearly as many trees. And as you're looking down this pathway, you can see there is a small stream that's flowing from west to east. And you can tell that the stream, for the most part, it looks, you know, like a clean stream. It's the water there is probably going to be healthy enough for you to drink out of if you need to. But I need everyone to also make me some perception checks as you're walking down this peaceful path. And I'm going to reveal more things as I see those numbers. Ota with a 10, Roy 11. With an 11, Yome with a 12, and Stella with a 21. So I'll say we'll start with the 11 and 10, Ota and Roy. You both see something that stands out that's somewhat close to the party that's following down this path. The two of you see the two closest bodies on the ground along the pathway, and I'm going to reveal those bodies and the rest of the map. Hot second. You guys don't see the other bodies. Only Yome and Stella see the other bodies. But you see, can you see the bodies on the map? The two of you, Roy and Roy and Hota see the two closest bodies, but the other two characters, Yome and Stella, you can see the other two bodies further down the path. There's one right before the stream and one right after on the opposite side of the stream. Now, as you see these bodies, you can't really tell what they are until you get closer, But you definitely know that these bodies have plant growth and like foliage all over them, as if nature itself has taken over. The bodies, again, until you get closer to inspect, you don't know necessarily what they are. They look humanoid, though. But they're too covered in this foliage and plant growth to really see exactly who they are or what they are. What do you all do?
Turn the other way and leave.
But it looks like they've been here kind of a while, right?
Yeah, based off the idea. That's your assumption, based off the foliage and the plant that has taken over their bodies. It's growing all over them. Flowers and whatnot coming out from underneath their bodies, covering half of it.
The swamp thing try to get to these people? Swamp
thing. He literally just walked into a fucking graveyard. Creepy.
We were having such a nice time, too.
Tepe's dead. I was not having a good time.
The sun still feels good on my skin.
Ashina looks at the four of you. Does anyone want to go investigate? If not, I will.
Oh, be my guest.
I will do, like, I don't know what kind of check I would need to do to see what's up.
You could do a medicine check or a nature check or even an investigation, whichever you think.
You're good. You do the medicine, cleric.
Ooh. Oh, that's a 26, a natural 20. I definitely know
something's going on.
Natural 20 with that 26 total. Yo, man, as you get to the closest body near you, you look down to inspect it, and it's pretty much all, you know, covered to the from toe to neck. But as you take a stick or your weapon and you try to like push aside some of that plant growth, you're looking down at this humanoid body. It's a medium-sized creature. And as you look at it, it is deformed and it looks like a yaksha. Someone transformed into a yaksha. You can't tell if they used to be a human or a yaki, but you can definitely tell they have signs of yaksha written over it.
I thought we were having a good time, Ryan. So why are you trying to...
Is it not dead? It could be alive attacking you right now.
Define dead in Ryan's world.
For now, it's not moving.
It looks dead as fuck with your... Natural 20, 26 medicine. The body has begun to decompose. It's been there for probably, your guess, about a week now.
Does it look like it fought something, or does it look like it just died?
Oh, it looks like it just died. You don't see any wounds necessarily on it, like any blood, old blood marks or gashes in the body. It just looks like it's decomposing slowly, and plant is growing out of it.
Perhaps there were soldiers trying to escape as well.
So it kind of looks like a Tepe situation where they escaped and they just sort of died off. Is that what we're assuming? Is that what I'm assuming?
You're assuming.
Is that what I'm seeing?
You're assuming that something did not kill them with a physical attack of any kind. They probably died from within or. Died by perhaps magic of some kind that afflicted their mind.
Do they look like arms and legs, or do they look like the other yaksha we fought?
They look like the other yaksha. So arms, they don't look like experimented people like arms and legs or Tepe. They look straight up like yaksha. They have the signs of a humanoid yaksha, where you've all fought like the goblin yaksha and stuff like that. Like they look like someone just changed into a yaksha through a normal process of the corruption, not the experimental Koldarian process.
Yomi comes back and says, like, it looks like they died of natural causes.
What?
I know. Yeah. They weren't fighting. I mean, maybe they died like Tepe.
Stella goes over to one of the bodies. Did they have, like, pockets or anything? Like,
are you trying to run through?
No, I'm not being Damien. I'm just trying to see. They got any IDs or anything?
Damn, she said I ain't being Damien now. I mean, why not? They did it.
She said they got any pockets.
So I mean, they are like
naked bodies, but
they are clothed. Much of their clothing is obviously torn and raggedy due to the yaksha taking over. Again, these are people that were affected by the corruption. And they do have, some of them, you know, have pockets. You can look through their clothing if you want. But again, the clothing is raggedy, dirty. It looks run down.
Hmm. I mean, yeah, they could have been escaped slaves from the first time they broke out, but I don't know. They would have sealed that up if this many got out. Maybe these are bad guys. Maybe we shouldn't care so much.
Oh, you got a point.
I'm pretty happy they're not alive. That's fair.
Yeah.
Ashina takes her naginata and she just pokes at the other body that's across from the ones you're inspecting. And she's just looking down at it with these eyes just staring down as with an intent to kill if it sits up at any moment. And she just moves, pushes the foliage over on the other body. She looks down at it. This is not normal. I've never seen a Yaksha die of natural causes before.
It could have been magic. Something we can't see.
That is a high possibility, which means there's probably someone around here or a group of people. It could be Koldarian soldiers or potentially remnants from Aloria that escaped when Koldar attacked. Or perhaps even Shimaran soldiers could be nearby. I would suggest to keep your wits about you.
I want to roll survival.
Not let your guard down.
Yes, that's what I was thinking.
I want to see if there's any old prints that led to this spot and just kind of like moved out or moved in.
Thank you for the survival check. I was hoping someone would do that. So where are you doing that around? What area of the path? Like further towards the stream?
In the center, see if there's any prints.
Which way they went?
Yeah, or okay. If they came in to kill him in this spot and then moved out.
Okay. So, Hota, as you walk further towards the small stream, and again, nothing is off about the scene. You still hear the animals around you. You know, you hear the only sound you hear other than some of the animals and the wind blowing against the trees is the water going down the stream. But as you rolled a high survival, 19, that's really good. You get close to that stream, and there's another body right before you hit the stream. And again, there's a body on the opposite side of the stream as well. But as you're inspecting the ground, you don't notice any footprints of any kind, humanoid-wise, but you do notice something is off. And it's something that you probably wouldn't recognize right away unless you really studied it. And with a 19, you see part of the ground where the grass is around you, part of it looks raised. And the plant growth in the area that you're inspecting is about 5 inches higher than the rest of the grass around you or on the path. And it seems to form a shape, the plant growth does. And as you step back and you really investigate it with your 19 survival, it looks like that 5-inch tall plant growth is shaped in a footprint of possibly a deer or an elk. It looks like a print of a hoof. But it is enormous, as in it is stretching from, I'd say, about 15 feet wide.
Oh, boy.
We should
Yo, man, can you come over here? You're more of a fox, right? You know grounds and grass and all that in the forest.
I guess.
Yeah, come here.
Come here.
He explains what you just told him. Now, what do you make of that?
Yome wouldn't know anything, right?
Yome, make me a... You can make me a nature check, or... I'd say, make me a nature check.
I don't know shit.
A 10, a base 10. So, Yome, you're looking down at this incredibly large, what looks like a footprint made out of plant growth. And, you know, with a 10, you can tell it looks like a hoof. I mean, your guess is it's a gigantic hoof. You don't know of any animals this big that would leave a hoof that size. So it with a 10, it has you stumped. You have no idea what it could be that is natural by any means.
It looks like an animal, but I've never seen anything that large.
Does anybody know?
Stella with an equally as bad roll.
It's an animal.
Yeah, Stella got an 11.
Ashina? Anyone?
Ashina's looking at it and she just shakes her head. I have no idea what that could be. I mean, she crosses her arms and begins to try and think. And as she's thinking, she just shakes her head. I have no idea. If it's a hoof, it could be a boar, it could be a deer, an elk, but that's gigantic. That's enormous. I've never seen a deer or an elk or a pig, any animal with hooves that large before.
The size of a god.
I guess I'll check it out.
Yes, please. I'm starting to feel like Barry Burt discovering blood.
Maybe I shouldn't cuss that fat squirrel out. Maybe he didn't know something.
He definitely did not know anything. Let's be real.
All right. So, Roy, you wrote a nature of 12. Everyone, so what? 10, 11, 12.
We don't know anything.
Yeah, Roy, you're just as clueless as they are of what it potentially could be. But, Yome, I need you to make me since you're the Yeki here, and as you're thinking about this, make me a perception check.
Because technically, whatever you want.
Yeah, you're technically up front with everyone else, so I'm gonna move your character. Okay, you rolled a 16 on your perception. So as everyone's trying to just figure out what it could be, you're looking around for any other similar prints that look like this, and there happen to be a couple others on the opposite side of the stream, where past the body that's on the opposite side. But as you're looking over the stream, you notice shadow moving through many of the trees on an upper level further down the map. There is what looks like a small, very tiny canyon with some ground that, you know, that is much higher than the current ground, some hills or some small cliffs that lead upwards. And you see there's a path from the ground level that leads up into the cliffs. But there's some movement you see coming from the trees on the opposite side of the stream, and it's quick.
How tall is it?
You don't see what it is yet. You just saw a shadow moving through the trees.
Well, yeah, is it a 15-foot hoof?
No, it's about you know, standard.
It's like a humanoid.
I'd say, yeah, it's definitely a humanoid figure, size. Shadowish. It's not nearly as big as a 15-foot hoof, but it was kind of big. It's probably about twice the size as Roroi.
Yeah. I'm going to whisper to Hota that I see something in the moving. I see movement.
Oh, do you now?
I point in the direction. I'm trying to, like, be quiet so whatever it is doesn't hear us, I guess.
Okay.
I guess a shit roll perception, huh?
You could.
Well, I'm telling you about
Damn!
It.
Damn!
All right, that's a 20. So, Yome, as you're whispering to Hota, he's quickly looking around to see if he can see what you saw. Hota, with a 20, you see this pretty easily. Along the stream, there are some trees to the right, or to your left, I should say, to the right of the map.
It's Pavu.
And the trees begin to move rather violently, the branches up above do. And you see, as it does so, birds begin to fly away from the trees, trying to get the fuck out, as if they were terrified by what was in the trees. And something soon jumps down from the trees, and it stares at the party, and let me place what it is.
Why will I hear boss music?
Oh. Better not be goddamn Garo.
As you look up, Hota, at the figure coming from...
Why did you say, it's not going to be anything crazy like the
Garo? It's not.
Why the fuck's this motherfucker on the map?
Let me explain, bitch.
Tripping.
So, the creature that comes bursting from the trees, it is Garo.
Jail.
The
federal prison.
The
federal
creature prison that you had killed back at the underground lair of Tawny Fortress is standing before you. However, he looks way different than he did before. Before, Garo spoke to you and actually seemed as if he had an inkling of consciousness within him. This is the corpse of Garo that is standing before you. He still has that death wound in his chest that came through his ribs and through his back that Hota had killed him with. Blood is oozing from all of his wounds that you all hit him with and created. However, the blood is a black, thick ichor. His eyes are rolled back into his head, so you don't see his pupils. They're just the white, blank eyes, not staring at you, but just blindly looking just straight at you. It looks like a zombied version of Garo. And his arms are now transformed into the bones that the spawn he created had, where his bones are now blades instead of his weapon that he used on his right hand. And as he is standing there, lurching forward, he doesn't speak. You just hear it makes these weird sounds you just can't understand. Just
why?
And as he is doing so, he begins to walk towards the party. He's not nearly as fast as he was before. He's just slowly walking towards you. I need everyone to make me perception checks at this point.
Mm-mm. You got it.
I didn't think he could get any more ugly.
18 perception for Stella, Hoto with a 16, Yome with a 15.
18.
And 18 for Roy. You all see what's about to happen. So as the zombified Garo begins walking towards you, you all are quickly like, okay, you already know that the corruption of the Yaksha has taken over at this point. Just like Tepe, he was one of the people that took the serum that you all found out about, but he was a mercenary from Aloria that did it willingly to gain more power. I mean, unfortunately, it drove him into madness and create a creature that you all killed. But this is showing signs of 100% all corruption from Moritai that created the Yaksha. It is no longer Garo. It is a Yaksha that has taken his body and has taken over. And as it's doing, and it's walking towards you, you all begin to hear clicking sounds, like not like a clicker from Last of Us, but like think of like clicking of small twigs and small branches like hitting each other, like sticks, like drumsticks hitting each other, okay, all around the forest. And as you all hear that, you begin to hear this weird sound. It sounds like a melody, and it somewhat sounds soothing, but you have never heard this before. And as you're looking around, hearing these sounds all over the trees, all on the map, you are completely surrounded by hundreds and hundreds of these small, like spirit creatures that are in the trees, as we all know them as Kodama. Think of like Princess Mononoke. You remember the scenes with the Kodama and they're like tilting their heads, making those weird sounds?
Oh, geez. But we don't sense any malice, right?
No, you don't sense any malice from them. You just see you are complete. There's hundreds of them in the trees all around you, just humming this melodious sound that, again, sounds peaceful. And as the clicking from the sticks that they're making and this humming sound that they're all, it's like a hive mind. They're all singing in unison or making these sounds in unison. You can see the zombified Garo stops very quickly as it reaches the stream. And as it takes a footstep or a step into the stream with one of its feet, it hears the same sounds as you all. And you can see Garo takes its bladed arms and it begins to slash in the air all around it as if the Yaksha was confused and angered by the sounds that these little spirits were making. As if he was going into a berserk mode and was just frustrated and annoyed by the sounds of these small Kodama. I need Yoma to make me either a nature or a religious check, a religion check. If you are, I would say, if you are from Ashai, you can also make a nature or a religion check. Stella, you could make one with a disadvantage if you want to, because you're not from Ashai. All right.
You better not be that wrestler.
Oh my god. What if he just comes out of the fucking woods? Oh, he's so mad.
That wrestler, hey! But what if he saves you?
I don't need to owe him and it's gonna be worse, yeah.
Right. Yeah.
I don't need him to save me.
Don't want to be in his debt.
So, no. Roy wrote a 13 on religion. Yome has an 11. Stella has a 6 with that disadvantage. So, Stella, you have fucking no clue what the fuck is going on around you. These little Kodama spirits that are in the trees making these sounds as their heads are tilting, so the way I'm picturing these Kodama are not like the ones in, like, you know, the ones you always see.
The white ones?
Yeah, like the white ones that look like little aliens. They don't look like that. These ones look more foresty. Like, they don't have full humanoid bodies. They just have these circular, this one round body with two little legs. Think like Oddish, the Pokemon. Except it has also two little arms coming from the round head of it. And they all have, like, these leaves coming from their heads as well. So they don't have, like, a torso, per se. It's just a round head with 2 feet sticking from the bottom of the head and two little arms coming out of the side of the head, like little Oddish people. But Stella, you're confused. You have no fucking clue what they are. And they are glowing, though. So they look like spirits or ghosts to you, Stella. And the others, what did Hota get?
Hota don't know shit, but I'll try it.
Oh. Hota, that's a 7 on religion. Hota don't know shit. Hota, nope. As you're looking, you have no clue what these are. You've never seen these in your life.
The hell are these things?
But
perhaps we should roam.
Yome and Roy, you both got above 11 or above, which is more than enough than what you needed. These little spirits, as I mentioned, are known as Kodama. They're in Ashai. They are, for the most part, peaceful nature or spirits of nature. Many of them can be found in forests and whatnot. Many travelers that do come across these Kodama only typically come across maybe one or a handful at any given time. The fact that you're surrounded by hundreds is intense. This is something you've never heard happen. But Roy and Yome, you both know this. You both know that obviously they are Kodama. You both know that they are typically peaceful and they are one with the Omnikami, which is obviously your gods. But you both have the knowledge that when there is ever a numerous amount of Kodama gathered in one area like this, it is because there is a specific reason that is that of possibly godly nature. Your guess is that these many spirits are in this area because potentially an Omnikami is in the forest. And as you remember that, that footprint of plants that you can see, you are already beginning to put two and two together. You're thinking an Omnikami is in this forest with you. And as Garo is, I would say, stunned by the sounds all these Kodama are making. You can see they're jumping around, dancing in the trees. Some of them are now jumping from the trees onto the ground, and they're all walking past you towards Garo. And as they do, you see the vines from the ground near Garo, as well as parts of the trees, as if the trees came to life. The branches, the vines, the grass, the plant life begins to grab at the zombified Garo, binding him down onto the ground as he is swinging his bone blades around in agony, trying to break free. This zombified creature is completely confused and held down by what's going on. It's as if a druid or something was nearby. But as this happens, you all see in the distance to the south of the map, which is technically further east of where you are, coming from the tree line on top of the cliff, you begin to see this enormous creature come into view. As it steps forward, you can see this giant, magnificent elk walking towards the party, as well as Garo. Every step this creature takes, you see plant life is created beneath it, which is most likely where that footprint came from that you found, Hota.
Yep.
And as it's stepping towards you, this creature is majestic. It looks like a giant elk. It has antlers, but it is not natural. You can see there's just something magnificent about this elk. It stands at least 30 feet high.
Ooh!
Like, this thing is massive. And as it looks down at all of you from the tree lines, it lowers its head. And its antlers are made of out of this radiant energy. It doesn't have physical antlers, but the antlers on top of its head are glowing with this brilliant yellow aura, as if it was radiance or holy energy within itself. It would make Ediar cry from seeing this.
Damn.
And as it continues walking towards Garo, it does not make a sound. With as enormous as this thing is, you would think you would hear its, you know, every step that it made. The ground beneath you doesn't shake. It is as silent as the wind. Yeah, there you go. Felicia just posted. There it is.
Man, we're in Elden Ring all of a sudden.
That's exactly what it's doing. So again, each step it makes, it creates plant. Although it doesn't die after it leaves the step, like that image that Felicia posted.
Yeah, it's creepy.
Yeah. But as it gets closer to Garo, you can see also behind the head of this giant elk, the same energy that creates its antlers, there is what looks like a floating symbol made out of this radiant energy behind its head, as if there was like a circular symbol just floating behind, like a halo, except more intricate than a halo. There's a lot going on. It's just a floating symbol that's behind its head. What you are seeing, at least Hota at this point, you would know. Mm-hmm. Yome and Roy know. You are looking at an Omnikami, one of the gods, the greater animal spirits of Ashai. Now, you might not know which one it is. I will say Yome and Roy do, though. You rolled a 7 on your religion, Hota. I'm sorry. You don't know which one this is. You haven't paid much attention.
You didn't study.
You are looking at the Omnikami, which is known as Phaius, the great deer spirit of kindness and grace, typically found in the nation of Aloria, which you are in Aloria, which makes way more sense to you, Roy and Yome, for why this is the Omnikami that has shown itself. But you guys know that it is an extremely rare feat to come across an Omnikami. Most of the citizens of Ashai find this to be one of the highest and most honorable experiences anyone could ever have in their life, at least from a shy, because it is so rare for them to allow mortals to, you know, within their presence. So this is a life-changing moment for at least Roroy and Yome. Hota, possibly for you and Stella as well, but you guys don't know who this is. Hota, you know what the Omni Kami are. You just don't know, you know, that this is Fias.
Hota tears up at the sight.
Yeah, so, I mean, Hota would understand that coming across an Omni Kami is a big fucking deal. Yes.
Yome is, like, slapping Roroy's arm and pointing. She can't say anything. She's just, like, freaking out.
Yeah, Roroy's freaking out, too. Bowing down and showing, like, the greatest respect ever.
Yes, and again, it is made out of pure brilliance. The energy coming from this Omni Kami, you just feel like you're in the presence of a god. Like, the forest around you with all the Kodama making their sounds, like, you just feel like you're in another plane of existence. You have never experienced something like this before. But as it walks closer to Garo, you see the vines holding him down begin to lift the Yaksha up into the air to where he is now looking into the face of Fias. And the elk just stares at Garo as it attempts to, like, break free and attack at the Omni Kami. And as it does so, you see Fias shifts its neck backwards, and the energy antlers coming from its skull, they begin to fly towards Garo, and they begin to pierce him in the body in every area that it can. And it lifts Garo even higher. As the antlers grow longer and longer, it lifts Garo higher into the sky. And as Garo is lifted probably about 100 feet into the air by these energy antlers,
jeez,
you can see at this point that his entire body, which is now decayed and oozing with this black ooze of blood, it begins to shine from within, as if you can see an aura inside of his body beginning to glow brighter and brighter like a star. And soon enough, radiant energy bursts from his eye sockets and his mouth. His body soon explodes up from above, but it doesn't explode in a way to where his guts and blood is flying everywhere. What happens is the body explodes, but turns into dust. This golden dust begins to flow down from the sky as if it was powder or like pollen of some kind. And moments afterwards, as that powdery dust begins to touch parts of the trees and the ground beneath, you can see more plant growth beginning to form, as if Fias just turned this man into a shitload of seeds of some kind.
Mm-hmm.
And as that happens, the deer or the elk, I should say, the Omni Kami, slowly looks at the five of you. Ashino Ruri at this point, she is on one knee, bowing down. She's taking her helmet off. She is showing her respects. Fias just looks at you for a couple of seconds, slowly turns its head, and it begins to walk back the way it came, as if you never saw it. And as it does begin to walk away, the Kodama slowly begin to stop making the sounds. And as they watch, the five of you, they all slowly point east, which is the direction that you were heading anyways. But as you all see them pointing eastwards, you're taking that as a sign as they're telling you to go that way. And they slowly fade as if they were never there. What do you do?
Stella, her arm's been crossed the whole time.
So you just gonna leave?
Oh, he's wiping away his tears.
Stella sees everyone is blown away and she's,
well, that was kind of fucking dope. I mean, like, I've seen gods, you know, not up close. Okay, I lie. I heard about it. It's pretty cool, right?
That was a sight to behold.
Are you crying?
Yes. He's going to lift Stella up and hug her.
Yomei is trying to tell Stella like what we just saw and understand, trying to get her to understand like the unlikelihood of that ever happening.
I can't hear Yomei. My face is like shoved in Hotsu's chest.
Yep.
She's trying to push off.
Oh, keep still. I'm almost done. Oh, there you go. Lets her down.
I'd rather try wrestlerism.
Wrestler pain.
Smells like old cheese.
What is Roy doing at this point?
Roy is still silent, shocked that he was privileged to see something so beautiful. He's also tearing up as well, but he's not trying to hide it at all. He's just still in shock. A positive shock this time.
Positive.
Positive. Yeah. So again, this experience made all of you, even partly Stella, it made all of you forget about the horrors you saw at the ruins. Even if it was momentarily, you just felt at peace being in the presence.
Like a weird calm.
Yes. But now that the Kodama have slowly vanished and the Omnikami known as Phaius has stepped away, the area around you, it's as if you snapped back into reality. You just hear the wind blowing against the trees, and Gato's body is no longer there. What you just experienced was not by any means an illusion of any kind. It was real. And Ashinori, she slowly gets up after she was bound, and she looks over at Stella as she's putting her helmet back on. Stella, you just witnessed the great deer spirit Phaius of the Omnikami. Here in Ashai, that is one of the most honorable experiences you can ever have in a lifetime. To have a story like this is rare. Not even your sister would have this experience.
All she's gonna do is accuse me of lying. I gotta be able to prove it. Also, why did you leave all these bodies here? They must have been bad guys. Must have deserved it. I stand.
Ashina looks at the other bodies. These were probably killed by the Omnikami. Now, their bodies are still here, but they have been taken over by the forest. That would make the most logical sense. Also, the Kodama, you saw them all. They pointed eastwards. It looks like we're on the right path. Let's not mess around for much longer. I would follow the orders of the Kodama. They are friendly forest spirits here in Hidai Forest. We should not upset them. And she begins to walk. And she
it
walks
should be safe the way that, yeah, I was going to say Yomei says, like, it should be safe the way they are leading us.
Well, I'm with her. We shouldn't dawdle.
You'd follow her into a fucking volcano.
That's true.
Well, listen, seeing as Omnikami is about as good, even better than having five women playing hide the dragon with you.
What?
We should continue.
Mm-hmm. The game sounds fun, though.
I would follow Ashina into a volcano, so long as it's not active.
You'd be getting active, or trying to.
Fair enough.
So after that magnificent and wondrous experience, we will go ahead and end this episode of Taverns and Caverns Season 2. Thanks again for listening to another exciting episode of Taverns and Caverns, everyone. If you enjoyed our shenanigans, we ask that you please leave us ratings and reviews on Apple iTunes or any other podcast platform that you use. Also, please be sure to check out the Taverns and Caverns Patreon for exclusive content that you won't want to miss. You can find me on Twitter at HaphazardDM.
Yo, I'm Bri. I play Stella. And you can follow me on Twitter at Blaze_NancyBriKing. Or NBK.
I am Robert Jones, and I played Hota Lu Bei. You can find me on YouTube, TrueBone, TrueBone.
I'm Felicia, and I play Yome. You can find me on Insta or Twitter at Dagger Tribal.
I'm Rod, or Rodimus, playing Roroy Rice. You can find me on Twitter at Rodimus7901 or at Instagram at Rodimus83.
All right. Well, thank you, everyone. Those are all of our players and our cast members for Taverns and Caverns Season 2. Until next time, take care.